Alyssa drives the Batmobile for all of our listeners at home.
Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
Does anybody have anything they want to share from this weekend or this past
time? It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
I will share something from the weekend now. Someone hit my car.
Are you serious?
Did they leave a note?
No, I knew them.
They hit it with a car?
They hit my car with their car.
Is it? Oh my gosh.
Like cars.
Did you talk to them?
Were you in the car?
I was not. My neck hurts. No, I was not in the car. I was actually in their kitchen. And then they had to come back inside their own home tell me that they hit their car. It's quite all right. It is very expensive, though, and I feel bad.
Is it on the back?
It's on the driver's left back door. Driver's side back door. I don't know.
How did they do it?
A strange place to hit. They were trying to, turn.
I was parked across the street from their driveway, and there was many cars at the house, and they backed out. Yeah.
That'll do it.
And my car is dark, and so it's difficult to see sometimes, especially if one isn't paying close attention.
Alyssa drives the Batmobile for all of our listeners at home.
I'd say it's Batmobile. I mean, it's very high tech. Never mind.
It is pretty high tech. Agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now it's high tech with a dent.
And you just got it.
Anywho, but Christmas just happened. So Christ is born. And there are more important things than wrecked cars.
Yeah.
What did you guys do? Tell me about yourselves.
Can I share a highlight
of
the past few days?
Yeah.
I mean, Christmas, amazing. Also exhausting, but
sweaty at mass.
I literally sweat through every shirt at mass. But what did happen is that after the 4:35 mass, before the midnight mass, I got to go to my uncle's house and hang out with my little cousins, and most of them are big into the WWE, which
you continued to sweat.
I was big into the WWE at one time, so I can hang. But also, this is one of these things where you, they play hard, and then they want you to play hard, but you've got to know boundaries of how far you can throw them. But we had a lot of fun. It was 6-on-1. One of my other cousin-in-laws, I suppose, came to my aid, so we were able to take care of them. But you can only, get fake pinned for so many times, and then kick out. You know, the 1-2 count, kick out.
Yep.
It's crucial just to build drama, really.
I'm not familiar with WWE.
Pounce on.
Oh, well, wrestling in general, though, you know how that goes. You got to try and pin the person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Vaguely familiar.
Anyway, after the fifth time of trying to be pinned by a 5-year-old, and then after me being exhausted after 12 minutes of wrestling, I'm like, all right, I'm pinned. But then, you give up, and they're like, but you can't. You can't stop. I'm like, I'm going to stop. I gotta go.
I'm stopping right now.
But you also learn the limits of play, when you elbow at a 9-year-old, which was totally accident.
This can't be within the guidelines of protecting God's children.
It was an accident.
I don't do that around here with the kids. There's no need to wrestle children here.
You don't elbow them in the face.
But you know,
is there a need to wrestle children anywhere?
Well, they brought it upon themselves.
Okay, so they're 9 and 5.
Oh, there's they're 12, 10, 8, 9. I mean, there was 6 of them.
That's awesome.
So you just picked them all up with both of your arms.
You tried to.
Threw them to the ground.
Yeah. Those are some of the cooler moves.
And then you hit your elbow a couple times and went,
Wah! It's like real life Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
That's the highlight of your Christmas?
It was amazing.
It's family time. I really think.
God has become man and he gets to wrestle children.
I told you Christmas
highlight.
Was amazing.
Okay.
Wait, I mean, the mass, the 4:35 mass in the gym was pretty awesome too. I did enjoy that. I mean, there's heaps of folks there. Liturgically strange space, but we made it work. They worked hard to make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your Christmas, Shana.
My Christmas, lovely. With 3 children. I mean, we were up at the crack of dawn. No, actually, before dawn cracked, we were up.
Why?
It's 5:30.
Already.
What do you think? Yeah.
Who woke
Christmas
up first?
Morning.
Hadley Guntley woke up first.
Well, Hadley Guntley was the first one to come into the room.
Okay.
What room?
Lorelai. My room.
Your room.
And we said, girls, you cannot get out of bed until 6:30.
Santa needs their beauty sleep.
No one is going downstairs before then. So Hadley's wow. like, oh, I can't tell what time it is.
She can't even read a clock.
Oh, she's smart. She has a clock in her room.
So she's a liar.
Well, and a lunatic. Not, yep. She's a little crazy. Well,
yeah.
She's a little crazy. But so we sent her back to her room. Lorelai, I'm pretty sure, was already up at 5. And I told Hadley, I'll let you know when it's time to get up. She's like, okay. And then you hear all the girls talking.
You could hear.
Oh, they're up. Yep. And Hadley walks in again. I was like, nope, not 6:30. I was like, go in Lorelai's room. Oh, okay. And it goes, and it gets louder. So I just.
Had any of them gone downstairs yet to see the.
They're not allowed to. They have to wait so we can take their picture and videotape them as they're walking down the stairs before they see the tree.
Cute. Oh, wow.
So they know. Then that gave us like 10 minutes to just kind of soak in.
What was Emmeline's affect? I feel like she would be.
Oh, she was cool.
Miss Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Although in the inside, she's like, I follow.
Yes, exactly. She's like, I'm going to follow the rules. I won't get out there ahead of time. But speaking of Miss Emmeline, Miss Cool. We were driving around today and I said, oh, we're going to podcast. We're going to talk about repenting and repentance. And like, what does that mean to you? Well, you know, something that happens after confession. I was like, oh, really? Wow. Okay. And like, how do you feel about it? She's like, you feel like fresh and clean. I said, oh, that's interesting. And then the song popped into my head.
Oh. What song?
Go ahead.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Nah, nah, nah. So fresh and so clean, clean. And then that's what I started bobbing my head to. And then I looked up the lyrics, not appropriate to share. But
I think we're thinking of the same song.
So clean, clean. Who sings that?
Outcast. No, when I looked it up. So fresh and so clean, clean.
Yeah.
So
that's the way that you chimed that, it sounded more like a Tide commercial than a rap song.
Well, I mean, either way, so you get so clean, you get clean.
Tide Pods.
Yes.
Tide Pods.
So that brings us to our topic today. And now I've just sang my song, so now I'm done, and I'll let you guys take over from here. But I'm kidding. I'm guiding you through a forest.
She's we're going through a forest.
Friends, what? This is how we set it up.
If there are any traps, let me know.
Fall into them. Fall into them.
Bear traps.
So when you think of repentance, a lot of people think fresh and clean. Mm. But when you're talking about kind of like conversion or reconversion, it can take on a whole different look. So we talked about how, you know, you just have to let God love you. He loves you. You love him. But then you can either keep going down the path you're going and say, oh, God loves me. It's fine. Or you can repent and turn and see him and say, you know what? I love you, but I know I'm doing some wrong things and I think I'm ready to change and move on. And how can you make me be a better person that I want to be?
Right.
So what you guys,
I know. You hear that feedback?
Yeah. What is that?
Get a little feedback.
We good?
Yeah. Good. What did you do?
I got the touch. I don't know.
No one touch anything. No one breathe. So, yeah, I think repentance is just kind of cool. Like you'll go to confession.
I'm really encouraged that Emmeline has such a positive view of repentance. Mine is a little bit more negative. I got to be honest. Just that there's something to repent from, and what we're repenting from isn't the most, like, normally that's the sort of thing we don't want other people to know about. Not that it's like the most hideous thing in the world, but that our hearts aren't totally pure, you know. And the Lord says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. That's what St. Teresa of Avila says, right? She and her little brother went to go be, they went to go fight the Muslims in Spain and, you know, wandered off out on their own. You know, one of their neighbors went and got them and brought them back home. But they were like a long way off from home. And they said, why did you leave? And she says, well, I want to see God. And I thought if I went and was martyred, I would be able to see God. So it's like, oh, man,
wow.
A little 6-year-old Teresa of Avila. Anyway, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And I think repentance is such that I can recognize in myself, and maybe even God has given me the grace, a small vision, self-knowledge, if you will, to see that there's some part of my heart that isn't totally pure, mm-hmm. And that the Lord desires to purify.
Mm. I didn't know that story about her.
Oh, yeah.
And so I love Teresa of Avila.
There's the Carmelites of the Eastern Coast Province in D.C. They have a publishing house. Anyway, a French Carmelite. He did a compendium, volume 1 and volume 2. I can show it to you. One of them is entitled, I Want to See God. Mm. And the other one is, I think it's, I Am a Daughter of the Church. A priest friend gifted those books to me. And in the second one, he wrote, Andrew, I hope you're man enough to be a true daughter of the church.
Yeah.
Repent.
When I heard we were talking about repentance, this is one of those topics that's kind of vast as well. And I don't have anything super concrete, but when I think about repentance and just how my view of it has shifted, I mean, I'm still pretty young. Someone classify me as, but, I've been probably a practicing Catholic for 6 years now, like actually kind of understanding, striving to understand what we believe and what we're after here. And even just in this past year, I think my view of repentance has shifted drastically, because when I was kind of, I guess, a little more immature in faith, just kind of a fledgling Catholic, I considered repentance or conversion kind of that like one-stop shop where everything happened like that you're not proud of, that you're shameful about before this one moment, and then bang, you encounter Jesus. Or maybe it might be something slower, like a season of life where you're kind of getting back into it, but it's that one season and then you're good. And then you're just Catholic, or then you're going to church again and everything. But even like within my own spiritual life and prayer life and what kind of the Lord's been showing me these past years is like there are so many things that I still need to repent of and like turn away from. And it's not just like a life of sin. That's one thing. That's kind of like the biggest one, mm-hmm. of like, I'm going to choose to live in grace now. Mm-hmm. But even still, I was talking about this with some of my Bible study girls at Mizzou. Like if you think about sin is just like carrying around this huge boulder. That's like what mortal sin is, right? Is like you're just weighed down by this huge thing and it's in your hands. You can't see me right now, but I look like I'm holding a huge boulder.
That's a nice
boulder.
That's like a boulder.
I say choosing, but being invited into repentance and into conversion. You set down this huge rock and all of a sudden you notice that there's still a few things in your backpack that you didn't notice before because you were carrying this huge boulder. And then you empty out your backpack of all these things you're trying to get rid of in your life, these tendencies, these ways to react. And then you start to notice there's like sand in between your toes that you never noticed before, right?
You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's so much harder to get out than just setting down this huge rock.
Right.
But you start to see, and you said, blessed are the pure of heart. You start to see more things the more you turn toward God. It's beautiful. And it
that's a helpful image too.
Yeah. And it's a journey. Like, that's why we need confession and like we need to continually come back. We don't believe it's just one and done.
I would agree with that. Like I went to confession a couple weeks ago when we had it. And, you know, I think as adults, we see it as so scary, like to go in and tell someone all the things that you've done wrong. Mm. And then, like you said, Emmeline looked at it as something a little bit more positive, like fresh start.
Yeah.
It's like taking a shower. You just clean it all off.
Sure.
And then you can come back out. So when I was done, it's just like this feeling you get. You're like, oh, feels so much better. And it's just like you coming to God as a child, looking at him like that and just saying, here I am.
Right.
Just like my kids would come to me. Like they'll hide stuff. And I'm like, I'd rather hear it from you than from somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have to open ourselves that much to become vulnerable and be a kid, a child of God again, as we all say, to really understand him and let ourselves open. So it's like, wow, my child's really smart. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, Emmeline.
She's great.
Yeah.
We should have her on sometime.
I should have just invited her today. Fourth guest interview.
And there's real power in the sacrament too. I mean, even just that sensation, certainly the sensation of being made clean, like I don't necessarily feel that every time, like the sensation itself. But I walk away like with the, like certain faith that my sins are forgiven and that like that there's power to go back. I mean, like sometimes even hearing confessions or in my own personal life, like, you know, there's people who are coming in who are confessing the same things over and over again. And people say that it's like, I confess the same sins over and over again. In some ways, that's a good thing that you're not adding sins. But at the same time, like, that's what the sacrament is for, because there's these tendencies that we all cling to, and maybe over time, like, they've just become part of us. But like, there's real grace, there's real power in that sacrament to fortify us, to strengthen us against those very strong tendencies. Like, and that's where you become more and more convicted, just like what is, like, we are slaves to sin. I was reading something recently, and I don't know why it just stuck out, because you know, we say that kind of nicely, like we're slaves to sin. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, like St. Paul uses that. We say it all the time, but in a new way, like it struck me. It's like, I am a slave to sin, because I think I always want to excuse myself and say, it's like, I'm not that bad. You know, like, I wouldn't say
you,
like
killed anyone.
Right. I don't confess mortal sins. Like, I don't think very often it really happens much, but just in my own personal life. But then I have to go to confession like every few weeks. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm sinning a ton in that time. Like
everyone does it. It's hard.
And yeah, like sinning doesn't make us human though. That's not what makes us human. Sin makes us less human. But I need to be a slave of Jesus Christ, as St. Paul says, like to serve him alone. It's like I serve somebody else every time I sin, and I am a real slave, right. Which is like, that's not a good thing. Which Lord do you serve?
Whenever I think of confession now, or the sacrament of reconciliation, the word I always, whenever I know I need to go to confession is like after I've done something major, or if it's gotten to the point where I like am experiencing a real lack of freedom. And I don't know how to describe that with examples other than just to say like there's a heaviness like with the way that I've been living life. And I think when my thought on the matter shifted, because confession to anyone who's like newly Catholic or just coming back to their faith, it's a burden. Like it's not easy, especially if you're ground down in shame, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when my vision of it kind of shifted was when I realized how much was not about me. Like it was about me, but it was so much more about healing. Like is there's a reason it's called the sacrament of healing. And it, like Father said, you don't always experience the physical effects coming out of the confessional, but there's a real sense of something has been healed within me and I want to live differently now. And I'm clean, and it's not so much that I think I mentioned this when we were talking with the eighth graders for confirmation. We kind of live in a world today, and me too, sometimes even, where we're kind of content with being good people. But like good is something we were created. It's not something we like strive for, you know? And so, and this is what breaks my heart when I talk to people I love that say, well, why do I need to do this? I'm a good person. You know, it's like, you were made for so much more than to be good. Like you already are good. You're not trying to convince me of that. Okay. You're good by your being. Like you were made for greatness, right? Like that you were made to live differently and to live for someone. Yeah, I don't know what I'm necessarily trying to articulate here, but it's a sacrament of healing, and it frees you to be like, to no longer be slaves.
At the seminary here in St. Louis, on the wall, there's this awesome quote. It's got Fulton Sheen there. Fulton Sheen said, "Christ did not come to make us nice people; he came to make us new men." Again, like the line St. Paul, like, "You are a new man in Christ," and I think that's what the life of conversion is to put off the old self, the old man who's weighed down by sin, and have the freedom of the children of God to be radically new. You know, like there's nothing old about God. Like he is ancient, but he is ever ancient, ever new, as St. Augustine says, right?
I mean, there's nothing
like old about God, but we, like our sin is old. Like it makes us lame. But the saints are ever new. I mean, like they're just being renewed, refreshed in the Lord each and every day. Not nice people. New men. That's new what women. We mean. And women.
I was thinking about this on the way in. Is there a prerequisite for conversion? Like, is there some sort of like a tilling of the soil? Is there like a ripe state of life to have conversion or to experience conversion? Are we out here trying to like dupe people into conversion, or is it?
I think people find conversion on their own way. I feel personally, I'm sure you guys think differently. Like everyone has an event in their life that makes them look at their life and think, wow. Like I like to call it Holy Spirit moments. Like when my dad died, that was my Holy Spirit moment. Like, all right, this is your wake up call.
Yeah.
Listen, travel down the right path.
Yeah. There's gotta be something more.
So I feel like that's how it is.
I know. I think you're right. I also think like the Lord gave you the grace to respond. The Lord brought about all those events. He's the one who's in charge of, he's the Lord of life. You know, he has power, control over all things. Like it's always God who prompts us. So you had this burning intuition that like the Lord was calling you to something else. And that's like the first step. That's something that God put on your heart, but then he allows you to respond. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really sort of experience and call conversion. Like that moment when I decided to respond freely to God's movement in my life. To respond to you, Alyssa, I think that's going to happen at a lot of different ages for people. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like young people, I don't know, being struck by beauty or being feeling like they're being called as something more, even though they maybe haven't gone through a ton of suffering, but they know that like they're being called to something greater than themselves, or somebody maybe who's older who realizes, wow, I've lived shallowly. And in the Lord's mercy, I see that now. Not that I have to be shamed in that, but I can go forward without fear in this moment of conversion.
But yeah, I just think everyone, see, we're not pushing anyone. There's not a certain path.
Oh yeah. And I don't, many people don't, even if people do experience big conversions, I mean, like St. Paul went off into the desert for 3 years after his conversion. 3 years. I mean, like,
I love the number 3 and 7. Seems to show up a lot.
You in the church.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not alone.
Those are becoming my favorite.
But why did he have to go off for 3 years? Because he probably had a lot of baggage. Like he had a lot of boulders and a lot of rocks in his backpack.
And it's a nice boulder.
Yeah. So like boulders. You think of this like one moment and that's it. But like you're not called to one big moment of conversion. You're called to like daily moments of conversion. Mm-hmm. And that's not just professional development. It's just like allowing yourself to be renewed in Jesus each and every day. Mm-hmm. Like allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you.
Yeah.
Like,
just gotta open yourself up.
Like you come to people as love, you know, mm-hmm. That's conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. That gives me great hope too. Just going through life with that mindset rather than waking up thinking it's another day, like probably didn't get enough sleep, you know, mm-hmm. like just waking up knowing that like I can be different today than I was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I love those fresh starts.
His mercies are new every morning. Morning.
Some might say, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's lovely.
That's lovely.
So I picked this topic not to be like a downer, because I know a lot of people think confession and repenting is such a downer, but just that people know.
Not here.
Not here. No. Nope.
So much hope.
But I mean,
so
it took
so
us a while
life,
to get there.
So,
I just want everyone to know that, you know, after you feel the love and you're giving the love, that you need to like just make a change and say, okay, I'm ready. And drop that boulder off right into the Lord's lap and say, please take it. And then
I don't
he'll
want
help
it.
You kind of fine tooth comb everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but that's the big thing. Think about change. And with the new year coming up, we're going to be wanting
time.
To change
new
a
year,
lot.
New me.
New Gross. Year, new me. New year,
no.
New things going on.
New year, new gym
man.
Membership.
New,
this thing's new man. Cheap.
New year, new man.
New woman.
New, thank you. new people.
Hmm. Yeah. For sure.
So does anybody... So at the end of every show, we're going to do a spark.
Oh, gosh.
Something that people can carry on to the next one.
Yeah.
So your
it's
spark
your
will kind of...
Spark.
Yeah, your personal spark. But, I mean, they get to learn a little bit about us
cool.
through each one.
Yes.
I forgot we were doing this, if we're being honest, and I didn't think about one.
Well, you can think about it right now.
Okay, you go first. What's your spark, Shane?
I'm going to relate it going into the new year. And real quick thing that I did over Advent is I made this big deal about getting the wine Advent calendar from Aldi.
Oh, my gosh. I knew this would find its way back into the podcast.
Well, it was so good.
You were doing that?
What?
You were doing that and you didn't
even
share?
No, she attempted to.
Remember, I did not get there in time.
That's right.
And I missed it all. So anyway, I said, you know what? I'm going to try to go to daily mass throughout Advent. And I did a great job. I did most days, not all. But every week I would just concentrate at the beginning of the week. I was like, you know, please just give me a word or a focus that I could take away every week. Mm. And God spoke to me. It was amazing. Mm. Like the first week was peace. I was like, okay, so I got to find peace, I guess. The second week was strength. I'm like, okay, all right. Kind of seeing how this goes. And then the third week was courage. I'm like, oh, that's a little bit tougher.
I like peace better.
I know. I was like, peace. I can find peace. Strength. Go to the gym more. No, that's not what he was talking about. So that's not what he was talking about. So I think my spark, I guess, to spark me on the new year is to concentrate on those three words that he gave me: peace, strength, and courage.
Sure.
And then just talking about my two favorite numbers, I'll be turning 37 this year.
Whoa.
3 and 7. Whoa. I think good things are going to happen. I get goosebumps just thinking about it.
Year blessed by the Lord.
Exactly.
Shana Spark is her own birthday.
Yes.
2020. She's going to see
May.
With fresh eyes.
See it. It's going to be awesome.
As I wear my glasses.
So that's my spark.
It's a good spark.
Kind of for the year and this podcast.
Nice.
I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do in you, Shana.
Excited. I'm going to be a fire, guys. Fire. Come on,
some
a CC house.
A Catholic arsonist.
I am a Catholic arsonist.
Oh my gosh, after we do the spark, we have to tell the people what happened at our Advent, to our Advent wreath. But okay, go ahead.
Well, Sparky was there.
We're running long. It's okay.
No, we're not.
They love us. Actually, this is our second one.
We're going to cut some stuff.
They don't even know us.
You don't even know who we are.
They're finding out us right now. Come on, Sparky.
I told you. Yeah, like, there's a woman who goes to mass at this church. I need not describe her, but what other people would say, you know, hi, Father, how are you? What I imagine her saying is, hi, how are you, Sparky?
But you said she's called you that before.
I think she has, but it's early in the morning.
He's delusional.
He's dreaming about this woman.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
This is his spark.
Yep.
What's sparking me is... one of my good buddies is coming to town, Father Michael. He and I studied together for 4 years, lived together for 4 years, and he's from Melbourne, Australia.
Australia.
And I can't wait to see him. So he's staying with me for a week or so. It'll be a good time to catch up with him.
I can't wait to meet him. We're going to have him on.
We're going to have him on.
Yeah.
Can I FaceTime with you guys while I'm in Arizona?
Probably not.
So mean. Couldn't even say.
During
the
FaceTime?
We don't know.
You're going to be busy listening to.
Learn how to build disciples.
You're going to be surprised. Yeah, how much like downtime you don't have.
Oh man, there goes seeing the sights. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited that you're excited.
Yeah, you'll meet him.
I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, he's great. Salt of the earth.
Are you going to like keep him here? Is that how I'm going to meet him?
Keep him here?
Like a dog?
like a slave?
You said I'll meet him. And I won't be here.
When do you get back?
The second.
Yeah, he'll be here. I'm going to keep him here. Penned up. Duct tape over his mouth.
In the NCT house.
Alyssa.
What's your spark? Sparky.
I'm still trying to figure one out. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry I'm a disappointment.
What an awesome newsletter you sent out, though. That's a spark.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, that was a gift.
She did a year in review of youth ministry. It was really.
There was a couple grammatical errors I realized after I sent it out.
Did you send it to me?
I'm only human. I bleed when I fall down. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, that was fun to make. I wouldn't say that's my spark, though, but I am excited for the new year with my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about this line from one of Father Philip's homilies.
Associate pastor at your
home
parish.
Pastor at my home parish, yes. And the reason it stood out to me, number one, because it was placed well in a homily, but also you have brought this up to me before. I can't remember the saint's name, but it's the one in England who, as he's being martyred, what's his name?
St. John Houghton.
St. John Houghton.
Yeah, Father Philip and I go back and forth on this.
Really?
Yeah, it's a sticking point for us.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's a negative connotation, actually. Sticking point is negative. How do I say something positively in that?
It's a positive sticking point.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, we always come back to that anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, he worked in the conversion. This makes sense. The conversion of Thérèse of Lisieux after she came home from midnight mass when she was young. And, you know, she's super dramatic young girl. And I don't know that I'm dramatic. Sometimes I can be, I think. But she just let a lot of things get to her. And she came home and, like, the Lord very clearly healed something within her. And he worked that into St. John Houghton.
Mm-hmm.
And will you explain this?
St. John.
What he says about his heart, basically.
Yeah. St. John Houghton, like a lot of some of the English martyrs who were killed in London, were killed at Tyburn, which is just nowadays it's in central London right next to Hyde Park, but they would be drawn, quartered, and hanged or drugged through London by a horse, like, which would hurt so bad. I mean, that would hurt so bad. I mean, you'd barely be alive by the end of that. I mean, if you hit your head, you'd probably be dead. So anyway, he was being split open, drawn open, quartered, like his insides are being taken out, and they told him they're going to take his heart out, his beating heart. And his last words were, "Good Jesus, what will you do with my heart?" Mm. As they plucked his heart from his chest.
That's beautiful.
I thought I told you that.
You did, yeah, which is why it stood out to me. I was like, Father Andrew shared this with me.
Yeah, I'm having a calligrapher do this for me. Because it actually hangs in the convent of sisters at Tyburn.
Really?
So I asked a calligrapher here in St. Louis if she would do the same sort of sign.
Beautiful.
Yeah, hanging in my room. Good Jesus, what will you do with my heart?
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to heal us. And that's something, that's my spark. The Lord's trying to heal something in me, and I don't know what it is necessarily, which is super frustrating. But it's a call to reversion, conversion, repentance, some sort. Yeah,
that's
awesome. My spark. Spark.
I like sparks.
That's spark.
I'll definitely pray on that for you, that you find that clarity.
Thanks, lady.
Yeah.
Did we even say what our names are, or like?
We'll just have people guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or what the name of this thing is?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Until next time, then.
Until next time. Bye.